Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
Sozo, what's up, guys? How are we feeling tonight? Are we awake? Are we good? All right, all right. Hey, I'm Pastor Ben. I'm so glad to be able to spend tonight with you. If you haven't met me, normally I'm quarantined on the weekend with our middle schoolers. They are awesome. You guys were middle school at one point, so you know how awesome you are. And but I wanted to share with you why we exist as a youth group. You know, we exist so that all people can realize that God loves them unconditionally. By the way, God loves you unconditionally. And what we believe here, this is our behavior. We believe in humility, care, and connection, and walking that out. When we live like that, when we behave like that, we literally lay the foundation for other people to know that they belong and that they're family. And so if I haven't said it to you, you belong and your family. Welcome to Sozo. Go ahead, give yourself a clap. It's okay. You can clap because it feels good. It feels good. And as a family, we want you to know God. We believe that if you'll keep coming to Sozo on Wednesday night and you'll come on the weekend, that you will get the tools and the resources to strengthen your relationship with God, and you will really begin to see who God is in your life. It's amazing. Somebody just say, come on. Come on. Now, I love energy. I love interaction. So if I'm preaching good, you can tell me by, come on, amen, preach it, white boy, whatever you want to do, okay? And if I'm preaching bad, you just keep encouraging me tonight. Sound good? Come on. Okay, there we go. All right, cool. Do we need to lay the groundwork again, or we just say one more time? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, there we go. There we go. Hey, go ahead and pull out your Bible. If you've got your phone with you tonight, that's your Bible. Holla at your boy. If you brought your Bible, you get an A+ today. We're also going to have the scripture up on the screen. We're going to go to Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17. And as we're opening up our Bibles, as we're getting there, I just want to encourage you to take notes. Note takers are history makers. God dealt with my heart years ago on taking notes on every podcast, every message, every service that I sat in. And when something encourages you, you want to write that down, because I believe this, that there'll come an opportunity. Maybe God wants to remind you and bring it back up. And maybe this word's for you in a different season, or it's for a friend, right? And so take notes. Note takers are history makers. Acts 20, verse 17. Now, this is the Apostle Paul who's writing this, and a little bit of groundwork on the Apostle Paul before we jump into this. This is, his name used to be Saul, and God did, he had a moment with God on the road to Damascus, and God changed him in a moment. And so literally Saul, you could just picture Saul being in correlation to today with like ISIS, right? He was going out hunting down Christians, trying to kill them, and he had a life awakening moment with God. One moment changed his whole trajectory of his life, and he ended up writing literally like 3/4 of the New Testament. It was so impactful. I love that. That encourages me, because it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've touched. One moment with Jesus can change your life. Come on. And he can turn you from Saul to Paul. And maybe that's you, or maybe that's a friend that you're believing for, or a parent you're believing for. God can do a miracle. We serve a God that does miracles. Amen. So Acts 20, there's a little bit of a framework there. And we're just going to go ahead. We're going to read along. Acts 20, verse 17. From Miletus to Ephesus, I'm sorry, y'all with me? Sometimes when you struggle in the Bible, you just move right past it, you know what I'm saying? You with me? Okay. So from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I've always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I've kept nothing back that was helpful, but I proclaimed to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound by the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. What a word Paul keeps getting. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I love this. This is amazing. This is so powerful. It's talking out of Acts verse 20 about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is near the end of his life. He's lived a terrific, tremendous life, and where he's gone to cities like Thessalonica and Ephesus and Philippi, and he's even gone all over Asia. He's spread the gospel. He's even been in Rome, when in Rome, right? And he's been used so powerfully by God. He's entering the last days of his life, and he's actually called for the elders of the church. I want to preach a message tonight, and if you're taking notes, I pray that you are. I encourage you to write down today's title. It's called Symptoms of the Call. Symptoms of the Call. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor, turn to somebody and tell them symptoms of your call. That's right. I want to preach today about the call that God has placed on your life and understanding that call. And I believe that if you'll walk out what God has called each and every single one of us to do, that your purpose will become so clear to you. I believe that God didn't just simply put us on earth, right? But God has sent us the church, sent us into our schools, into our city, into our towns. Come on, into the city of the Steelers, into the city of the Pirates, into the city of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And we've been called by God for such a time as this. I want to preach a message titled Symptoms of the Call. And we're just going to go ahead. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to pray and believe that God's going to come and strengthen us and encourage us tonight. Does that sound good? Yeah. Yeah, I got one. All right, let's just pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that it encourages us and it strengthens our very bones. Father, open our eyes so we can see Jesus. Open our ears so we can hear the Holy Spirit. God, do what only you can do in this time and in this setting. I thank you for a fresh revelation of your word. I thank you that you've created us on purpose for a purpose. And I thank you for an awakening within us for what that purpose is. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. And so, hey, I don't know about you, but there's one thing I hate. There's one thing, I hate it more than anything. By a show of hands, who in here real quick, you just hate getting sick. Go ahead, let me see your hand. Holla at your boy. I hate getting sick. I mean, it's the worst when you get like the tickle throat, you know, and the fever, the runny nose, you know, the headache, the cold, the chills all over. And so recently, Alyssa and I, it was like literally 3 o'clock in the morning. I wake up. I mean, like I beeline for the bathroom. I'm so sick and my eyes, I violently started throwing up. My eyes felt like they were gonna pop out of my head. I don't know if you've ever been there, right? It's the worst. And all the blood's rushing to my head. I couldn't leave the porcelain. Like I was hugging the thing. I'm like, oh, is there more? Oh, like did some get on the floor? Let's not go into the details. Like I'm gonna spare you, but I felt so sick. And it was so bad that, like, literally, it was a Saturday into a Sunday, so I had to preach that weekend. So I get up, I go to church. I'm so sick. My family, we had a thing going on, you know. So I'm driving all the way to Burgettstown back home, and literally, as I'm driving, my wife's in the car. I put down the window, and I'm just like it's just going out. People are driving. They're like, oh my gosh. Like I could just only guess what their thoughts were. And man, I'm telling you, it was horrible. And when I made it to my parents' house, they could tell that I was sick because of the symptoms, right? I told them, my stomach hurt. I'm cold. I got chills all over. I wanted a hoodie. It's the middle of the May. And I'm on the couch. I'm just laying there. I'm not the person that just lays around. I don't know about you. I can't just be sitting there doing nothing. I had all the symptoms of being sick. And I'll just say this. Can you see the symptoms of your call? You've got symptoms to your call, and because there are symptoms, and when you're being called, you can always tell, by the way, you are called. We're just going to go ahead and roll out the thought of like, no, I wasn't called. That's not me. No, you've been called. God called you by name. He chose you. You didn't choose him. Let's just correct that thought. And so we're going to roll that out. No, we haven't been called. No, you've been called. That's a lie from hell. Come on, tell the devil. You is stupid. You is dumb, for real. Go ahead, you tell him. And God created you on purpose for a purpose. There's symptoms to your call. I love what Paul's saying in Acts chapter 20. I love this. In verse 17 and 18, the first thing that he does is he calls for the elders of the church. What is Paul teaching us? He's establishing relationship. He's honoring authority in his life. He's not going out and doing anything on his own. Come on, he wants the elders to be a part of. I'm spitting everywhere. Who has braces? You know the struggle. Come on. Spit guard right here. Let me encourage you. One of the things you ought to do in your life is make sure that you got some elders in your life. Maybe it's some pastors. Maybe it's a youth leader. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your small group leader. I pray that it is. Maybe it's a teacher in your life. But don't make decisions on your own. Paul's saying, I don't want to just go. I want to go out sent. So I need to get some approval. Somebody say, come on. You know, when Alyssa and I, when we were building and planting Echo for our church, we met with our pastors. We met with Pastor John and Miss Michelle, and we had the approval of our elders. We had people that were pouring into our lives. Why? Because we had backing and approval. There's always safety with a covering. I'm gonna say that again. There's always safety with the covering. So he calls for the elders, he brings them all together, and watch how he begins to give this speech. I love this. He's got the elders and he wants their approval so bad. He's not willing to go out without relationship. It's so important to have relationship in life. Come on. Zach said it. You can't get to the wrong places with the right friends. You can't get to the wrong places with the right friends. And so he calls for the elders and he goes, hey guys, he's presenting his case. Now watch the symptoms of the call. Watch this. In verse 18, guys, you know how, he's like, you know how I've served the Lord here in Asia with all humility. I'm going to give you four symptoms of the call today. And I believe that if you'll walk out what God is calling each and every single one of us to do, I believe that you will walk right into your God-given calling. I believe that today, that you will walk right into your purpose. So you can go ahead, you can write down thought number one tonight. They're servants. You and I, we've been called to serve. Paul said in verse 19, you know how I've served the Lord with all humility? I've been serving God through tears and tribulations and trials, and I've been serving God. You know, there's something about someone that knows how to serve. Can I tell you one of the things that's so powerful about Jesus is Jesus lived to serve. Jesus was the servant of all, right? And Jesus tells us one beautiful picture one time. He goes, hey guys, he's talking to his disciples. He's like, hey guys, let me ask you a question. I got to ask a question. He goes, so there's somebody at the head of a table. They have a big feast planned, right? Somebody's at the head of the table and they keep bringing this guy wine, ribeye, some cheese. Right? And now that guy that's being served, let me ask you a question. Which is greater? Who's greater? Is it the one that's serving him or the one that's being served? Right? The disciples are like, oh, come on, Jesus. Captain Obvious answer right here. Like, you ready for this? And of course, the greater of the one is the one that's being served. Isn't it interesting that I, the Son of Man, right, I came to serve and to be a servant? Jesus lived to serve. Jesus poured out his life. He was the servant of all. In fact, in this kingdom, Jesus said the greatest of all is the servant of all. Can I say it this way? If you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. There's something about positioning yourself as a servant. The gateway to greatness is servitude, right? If you want to be great in life, choose to serve. If you want to have great relationships with your parents, serve your parents. If you want to have a great business one day, serve your employees. If you want to have great friendships or great friends, begin to serve your friends. If you want to have a great church, serve your church. Come on. That's why you should be serving on the dream team. Get plugged in on the weekend. Get plugged in here. Go serve in Echo. There you go. Come on. You can come with me. Right? We're going to hang out. Get served and be a part. There's something about taking the posture and the position and becoming a servant. Paul said, y'all know my credibility. Come on, I've been serving with humility. It takes a humble person to serve. The law of opposite of humility is pride. Pride says, serve me. Pride says, promote me. Pride says, tag me. Hello, somebody, right? Pride says, it's all about me. We live in a self-absorbed society where self-centeredness wins. Wherever we see pride in our culture, that's what wins. Whoever praises themselves and worships themselves the most, that's who wins in our society. But kingdom culture is different. Kingdom culture is opposite, right? Kingdom culture celebrates humility. Come on, is there anybody in this room that they want to be a servant of God? Come on, is there anybody that's willing to say, come on, I'll serve God with all humility? Watch what Paul's really saying here. He said, I've been serving with all humility. And then he adds two thoughts that I think are so insightful. He says, with tears and tribulations. In other words, when you serve God, it's not going to be easy. And there's going to be some tears involved. Can I encourage you today that making the kingdom of God a priority in your life will always be an inconvenience? It will always be an inconvenience, but you will be satisfied. He's saying, I've gone through some trials, but in addition, I've gone through some tears. You know, I love tears from the Holy Spirit. We were worshiping God. I don't know about you, but like, you ever love it when you're just worshiping God, you're doing something, and you're reading the Bible, and you're all in, and you all of a sudden you get those tears, and you're like, what is this? Stop it! Like, why are you doing this, God, right now? And the music's so good because the worship team's just tearing it up. Is it just me? Like, come on. And you're like, I'm not an emotionally unstable person. I'm just unstable. I don't know what it is. But you know, let me encourage you. You can get tears from the Holy Spirit. Tears from the Holy Spirit are good. Tears from the Holy Spirit are cleansing. God's doing a work in you when you get that. You ever be in worship and you're just like, God, I've given you everything I got, and I just start to cry. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're in your room and you're praying and doing your thing. Maybe you're reading the Bible. Maybe you're listening to worship music. Maybe you're doing a podcast, right? But you're just giving God everything you got, your whole heart, and you start to cry. It's such a good feeling when you get tears from the Holy Spirit. And God starts to move in your life, and that's what Paul was saying. He said, I'm telling the elders, I'm telling these guys, like, look, if I cried here, I'll cry there. If God moved me, if he gave me a burden for this city, he'll give me a burden for that city. And he's providing and proving that he served God with tears and tribulations. I remember my friend, Pastor Zach Blair, so awesome, when God called him to go plant Hill City Church. I remember sitting in his living room, and we were talking, and he told me, he's like, I can't stop crying. I've just got a burden for the city. I just want to help people take their hill. Can I just encourage you that you can get tears from the Holy Spirit? And when you get tears from God, Paul is saying that I wanted to serve you so bad that I cried over you. I care about you. In fact, symptoms of the call are, number one, they're serving, they're servants. Symptom number two is they're givers. He said, I've been, in verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility, and I've kept nothing back from you. I've been pouring out my heart. I've been throwing it over the line. I've given you everything that I've got, and there's something about somebody that lives with passion and zeal and purpose, and I'll give you every cheat code I got. Who in here, who plays video games? Anybody play video games? Oh my gosh. Okay, a lot less than I thought. Holla at your boy, I play video games. And when I was growing up, I had a Nintendo 64. You guys don't even know what that is. And I had a Nintendo 64. We played 007 James Bond. And I'd invite all my friends over, and we'd hang out. And we always had that one kid that knew all the codes. Like, he'd come in, he'd put in, like, Donkey Kong mode. Everybody would be having big heads, and they had paintball guns and be running around. It'd be nuts. He'd come in, he'd be, like, up, down, box, right, triangle, square, your mama. I never knew how to do any of that. Do you ever have that one friend that just won't show you any of the cheat codes? Don't live your life holding back a blessing. Don't live your life holding back a secret. We ought to live our life saying, if I've got a quote that will encourage you, if I've got a scripture that will encourage you, if I've got a gift that will encourage you, if I've got something. You know, a lot of times when I'm reading the word and I just feel like God has really spoken to me, what do? I turn around, I'll post it right to the Instagram. I'll throw it out there, because if it encouraged me, it could encourage you. I'll post it right away. Why? Because I'm not holding anything back. I live to be a blessing. Let me just say this, that you ain't living until you start giving. Come on, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's something about the world of the generous. There's something about pouring out your life. Paul's saying, I've served the Lord with all humility, but I ain't holding anything back. Anybody, let that be your prayer tonight. You want to bless people? Come on, let that be your prayer. Let that become your passion, that when you get touched by grace, you begin to share and pour out your life. We had a student that was in Echo not long ago, and this was so awesome. She came up to my wife and I, and she's like, this is amazing. She was so touched by service. The very first time she was there, it resonated with her, and she said, you know, it's really cool what you guys got going on, but you're missing it. I'm like, is that like a backhanded compliment? Like, I don't quite understand. And she's like, no, seriously, like, it's so amazing, but you guys are missing the mark because you don't have social media. And she said, you know, all of my friends are on social media, and this is so amazing. What if we could share this? And you know what she did? She went home, and she began to create. She created all of our social media accounts. She gave us the password. She's like, listen, post this on this day, post that on that day, and if you do this, it'll be really cool. And she began to post for us, and she got it launched. And you know what that is? That's saying, I'm not living a life where I hold back a blessing. I just got to highlight one of our students in here, Mitch Gore. It's amazing. Come on. Do you follow Sozo on Instagram? You know, most of that content is Mitch. What is he doing? He's like, I live to be a blessing. He's taking his time and his talent, and he's sowing seeds into the kingdom. And I just want to release you that God has given you gifts and talents, and release it. Come on. I love that. Yeah, Mitch. Watch what Paul's saying. Watch this. Symptoms of the call. Symptoms, you can always tell where people are at. He said, I was a servant, I was a giver, and watch the next thing that he says, and he goes in great succession. He goes, I've served with all humility, tears, and trials, right? I literally held nothing back and went from house to house. I went from church to church. I declared everything that I know. I poured out my life, and then he said, and you know, I've been testifying to both Jews and Greeks everywhere I went. So another symptom of the call is they're not afraid to talk about it. They're just not afraid to talk. They're just unashamed about their faith. Everywhere they go, they're telling somebody about Jesus. They're not afraid to talk about the one thing that changed their life. You know what the Bible says in Romans 1:16? It says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of being counted as a Christian. I just want to release you to stop being scared of being a Christian. You should be proud to represent Jesus. If Jesus saved your life, if Jesus has changed you, you ought to be proud to say, listen, maybe you don't want to be associated with some Christians. Maybe some people, I'll give you that, right? There's some people I'm like, You know what I'm saying? But I want to be associated with Jesus. God's not weird. People are weird. There's something about somebody that says, I've been living and testifying about Jesus. Notice that there's two areas that Paul said that he's been talking about God. He said first to the Jews, and then he said to the Greeks. Now let's go historically into this context and look at the audience in which he's speaking to. So first is the Jews, and we can translate that in our day, church folk, right? He said, I'm not afraid to talk church to other church people. I'm not afraid to share about Jesus to church people. Let me just say this, just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean they have an accurate picture of who Jesus is. He said, I have not shied back from talking about the gospel. And there's something about church people that are so steeped in religion that they need to get freed by grace. He said, I've been going house to house and place to place talking to church people and getting them freed from religiosity. But then over here with the Greeks. Now, you've got to understand that Greeks in this context are Gentiles, and Gentiles thought that they had no shot in becoming Christians. Gentiles in this context are the worst of the worst. They're the scum of the scum. They're the least of the least. Paul was sent to this group of people by God. He was not sent to religious people. He wasn't sent to just church people. He was sent to lost and broken people. Like you and I, come on. The people that thought they never had a shot at the gospel, that's where Paul was going. Paul said, I've been talking to church folk, but you best believe, come on, I've been helping some broken people in my city, some broken people in Cranberry Township. You better believe I've been helping some people that don't know who Jesus is, that don't know what Jesus could do. Come on, thank God that we don't have to do one or the other. We could do both. So Paul's been talking about this thing. He's not afraid. He's not ashamed of his faith. And now I just wonder what our schools would look like if we just would step up and not be afraid to be counted as Christian. I just wonder what it would look like at your dinner table tonight when you sit down to eat dinner, if you said a prayer with your whole entire family and blessed them in your food. I just wonder what it would look like on the way to school if you took a 5-minute praise break and you put on some worship music and you said, thank you, Jesus, tell the devil, no, not today. Like, I just wonder what it would look like in your world. There's something about saying, I'm not afraid to talk about this thing. I wonder what our church would look like the next few weeks if every single one of us invited somebody to church. Come on, I believe this room's ready to be bursting at the seams. Can I just tell you that I really believe this, that there's gonna come a time where we can't put chairs in the room because there's so many students in this room. 500 maybe, 600, you know what I'm saying? What would it look like? It's all about staying up and saying, I'm proud to be saved by grace. It's not that you're proud that you're perfect. Come on, we all need Jesus. It's not that you're proud because of your behavior. Come on, we all need Jesus. But we're proud that there's a Savior and his name is Jesus and he came to save our life. He saved our life. Is there anybody that agrees with what I'm saying tonight? So symptoms are, they're serving, they're giving and they're talking about it. And then my favorite part, and this is in verse 24, he brings this epic conclusion indicating to us that of what called people look like. He's called for the elders. He's stated his case. And now watch how he concludes in verse 24. And this is such a profound, riveting portion of Scripture. And I'll just encourage you that if you're somebody that is committed to memorizing Scripture, maybe you should submit this one to memory. Maybe you should write this down on a post-it note. Or Mitch, if you're in the room, maybe you should create this as a desktop phone thing for you. Come on, I'm getting older. It's okay. You're all with me, though. And commit this verse, Acts 20, 24, to your memory. I love this because to me, I think what Paul was saying is some of the most liberating words in all Scripture. Watch what Paul is saying in verse 24. But none of these things move me. But none of these things move me. You know, you've come to such a safe place in your faith when you're just unshakable. When you just can't be moved. It's not if the storm comes, it's when the storm comes, right? And we lean into faith. He said, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy. God wants you to finish your race with joy. And the ministry in which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You can write down number 4 tonight. People, you can always tell it's a symptom because you live to make much of Jesus. It's what they live to do. It's what they obsess over. They stop being obsessed with money and fame. They surrender and they give up their obsessions with this, that, or the other. And because they've traded it and exchanged it to make much of Jesus. Paul is, he's colluding his case, isn't he? He's bringing it to a head. He wants their approval so bad. This is like the epic conclusion. This is like, remember the Titans, this is like the last big game. And he started his whole case. He's saying, now, all that really matters to me on this planet is bringing other people to Jesus. Like, nothing moves me. I don't count my life so dear to myself. It's, in other words, he's saying, I'm not in love with me. I don't live for me. It's not about my success. It's not about my name. It's not about how many followers I have on Instagram. It's about making much of Jesus. Symptoms of called people is they have this glorious obsession with making much of Jesus. It's their obsession. They want Jesus to be known. They want Jesus to be lifted up in their homes and in their cities and in their schools. They're just Jesus people. Can I tell you today that the Father who is in heaven is obsessed with making much of Jesus? That's the Father's role. The Holy Spirit who hovers to and fro throughout the land is on every tribe and every tongue. His obsession is to make much of Jesus. The scriptures in the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, that's the book for me. The Bible points everybody to a person. His name is Jesus. All of creation is about Jesus. The heavens are about Jesus. The earth is about Jesus. The church is about Jesus. Come on, is there anybody here today that say, I want to live my life obsessed with making much of Jesus? He's going with a passion of saying, I know people might have an idea of church, but they don't even know Jesus. Because all that matters to me is that people would understand that Jesus is grace, Jesus is peace, Jesus is love, Jesus is everything you need, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And if they just understand that it's my mission, it's my motto. Look, if you're here today and you're like, Pastor Ben, that's cool and all, but what's my call? What's my purpose? If you would just walk out those four things, I believe that God will make it so clear to you. If you'd walk out those four things and you'd seek his face and you'd ask him and you'd pray and you'd ask him and you'd come back again and you'd just ask him and you get before God and God, what are you saying to me? What would you have me do? And I believe that your purpose will become obvious. You will find your purpose in his presence. Give God time. We want everything now. Give him time. Wait on him. It's okay. Sometimes you'll find your calling where your pain and your compassion meet. It's that intersection. Your love and your pain can point you to where your calling is. You know, when I was growing up, I was so hurt by people. I was so hurt, but at the same time, I love people so much. God used my pain for a purpose to glorify him, to make much of Jesus. Can you just bow your heads? I want to pray for you. Father God, I thank you that as we gather together, that we're just saying as a church that we've been called. And God, we believe that you love Sozo more than we love Sozo. And God, would you make this personal for our own individual lives, that God, that you'd help us be servants, that you'd help us be givers, God, and that you would help us be those that are not ashamed to talk about it. God, would you help us be those that live to make much of Jesus? God, we're asking for your help. We want all the symptoms. We want the headache and the fever and the runny nose and the colds and the chill. God, we want all the symptoms of your call for our life. God, would you make it obvious for us? Let us be on mission. Let us have purpose and passion and direction. And God, thank you for leading us into the next season. God, we love you. If you've come in here tonight and you haven't made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, I want to pray with you. I'm asking that nobody looks around. This is between you and God. If you'd say, Ben, I want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life tonight. I want to start my relationship with him. Would you just slip up your hand right where you are? See that hand. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're all going to pray together. I'd never single you out. I'd never embarrass you. Maybe you raised your hand or you wanted to. We're all going to pray together, and Jesus is going to come into your heart. You'll never be the same. The minute you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you become a new creation in Christ. We're all going to pray together. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God and he died on the cross for all my sins. And Jesus, I receive you to be my Lord. I'm a child of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, you can go ahead and clap it up.